Absolument.
Welcome to the LDM show. On today's show, we're going to be discussing a very important contention that people bring up against the linguistic miracle of the Quran. And you know, you find videos on this, you find it's like a popular comment that some atheists make on some of our videos. If the Quran is so great and so amazing and you're saying it's divine, well, what about Shakespeare and, you know, other works like that? So how would you respond to that?
Well, this is a contention against the linguistic and literary miracle of the Quran.
Sure.
Now, basically, the Quran in chapter 2, verse 23 says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ وَدَعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, which means in English, and if you're in doubt, talking to everybody about this book we have sent down to our servant, referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then bring one chapter like it and call on your witnesses and your supporters besides Allah, in kuntum sadiqeen, if you're truthful in your claim. Now, what this refers to from a classical perspective, if you go to the works of Ibn Kathir, you go to the works of Qurtubi and others, that they said that this relates to the linguistic and literary nature feature of the Quran. Now, what is the literary nature feature of the Quran? Now, we don't have to go into the technicalities, but in summary, it deals with various features, but to concentrate on one, it concerns its unique literary form, the structural features of the Quranic language. For example, we know the Quran is not poetry because the totality of every chapter doesn't adhere to what you call the rhythmical patterns of poetry. In Arabic, they are called the Al-Bihar, and there are 16 of them, and they were codified in the 8th century by Khalil ibn Ahmad. For example, we know that the Quran is not straightforward speech, known as mursal, straightforward speech, because we know the Quran has its own unique rhythm and its use of rhetorical devices and eloquence and stuff like that. So, I don't want to get into the technicalities, that's for another video, obviously, but it's just to show that the Quran is a unique literary form. Now, what some atheists say, they say, well, it doesn't make the Quran special.
Sure.
Because what about Shakespeare? Or other great literators. Shakespeare, for example, has amazing work. Look at his sonnets and his plays. Therefore, if you think the Quran is divine because it's an amazing piece of literature, then by that argument, you have to claim that Shakespeare is divine. Well, this has misunderstood the argument. It's quite fallacious reasoning, because they haven't understood what we're saying. What we're saying is, it's not that the aesthetic reception, we're not picking up the Quran and saying, oh, it's amazing,
beautiful.
It's beautiful, and your heart is moved, which is true, it does move men to tears and ecstasy. But what we're saying is that we're talking about the structural features of language concerning rhythm, rhyme, is it based on the length of syllables or the accent, so many different things, the frequency of rhetorical features and devices, all this technical stuff. It's to do with the structural features of language and to do with frequency, rather than how you feel, okay? So they've misunderstood the argument. And what we're saying is the Quran is a unique literary form that when we go to the Arabic language, the finite 28 letters of the Arabic language, the grammatical rules, okay, the finite classical words, and we exhaust all combinations, we cannot create the literary form of the Quran. Or we cannot create a form that's unique and that cannot be imitated, because the Quran is unique and cannot be imitated. So from this perspective, they've misunderstood the argument, because when you look into Shakespeare, although Shakespeare for some may be great, but he wasn't unique. That's the point. Shakespeare was using different structures of language, if you want to use such a term, such as the iambic pentameter, trochaic verse, blank verse, which was used by many English literators. And that's the point. For example, you have Fletcher, Christopher Marlowe, and many others that use the same kind of literary form or meters, like the iambic pentameter, the trochaic verse, the blank verse, just like what Shakespeare did. So Shakespeare's not unique in that respect or aspect. So they have misunderstood the argument tremendously, because it's about the unique literary form, the frequency of linguistic devices, rather than Oh, that sounds so great to me.
Sure.
So in a way, it's again an attempt at mockery, because you could even study this online. If you Google Shakespeare literary forms or iambic pentameter, you'd have academic or high-level popularized work that shows you that Shakespeare wasn't unique, that actually Christopher Marlowe used the same kind of patterns and rhythmical patterns, and Fletcher and others. So from that perspective, it's a misplaced contention, and hopefully people understand this. And I don't want to hear this anymore, because every time I give this argument, I always have someone who claims to be an academic. What about Shakespeare? Actually, in actual fact, I had a debate in Cambridge, in the famous Cambridge debating chambers, with Professor Simon Blackburn. That was his name, Professor Simon Blackburn. He's a Humean, he loves David Hume, humanist. And we had a discussion on the on God's existence, and I spoke about the Quran, its unique literary form, and his final, clutch at intellectual straws, his grasp at the final straw. I mean, he couldn't do much, and he was just, someone whispered in the background, what about Shakespeare? He was like, yeah, so what about Shakespeare? And I was like, oh my God, how academic is that? It's like the last kind of, you know, you throw a tomato at somebody.
Yeah.
You know? So it's let's hopefully, after people watching this video, they can grow up slightly and do some more research and be sincere, rather than finding what's the quickest way to attack the Quran, be a little bit nuanced and academic.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that. And this sort of makes me think of, you know, a lot of the contentions against the Quran are so popular, but when you actually break it down, there's basically nothing there. So inshallah, in the rest of the videos we're going to be doing, we're also going to be going over other popular contentions and showing in their reality they are nothing. So thank you very much.
Good to see you, bro.
On the show.